Baptist here. Good morning, morning. John the Baptist. Hey, Brother Jake, John the Baptist. Remember you from last year? Yeah, man. Hey, John the Baptist. Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, Floyd. Oh yeah, you're the reason I brought this stick. Yeah. So watch it. You got your phone on silent, don't you? All right. Good. Hey, I'm glad to see you guys. You guys are looking good. Christmas time, the greatest time of the year, isn't it? Why? Jesus, that's right. Most of the world has forgotten that. It's about, they say, the spirit of Christmas, of giving. Where does that come from? Yeah. Jesus is the gift that was given to us. And this is the season we remember the King born in Bethlehem, our Savior. Christ the Lord. You know, when I come back here each year, I notice something. Each year, the world is worse off than it was before. Last year, this year, and who knows what the next year is going to hold. But I'm telling you this. Many say the world is headed towards the cliff, right? Well, I say you've already gone off the cliff. And most of the world has no idea. You've advanced in technology as a people, as your good young looking pastor gave me his little device here that keeps all my thoughts straight. Because I have a tendency to kind of take a lot of rabbit trails. You've advanced in technology. But have you gotten more civilized? People look down on us from the ancient world because they think we were uncivilized. They condemn the God of the Bible for judging nations and judging people. But what the people of the world do today far exceeds anything in the old ancient world. Millions are lost to sin. Millions and millions of murders happen amongst you. And today the world calls it family planning. Millions addicted to drugs, alcohol. Millions are slaves to pornography and perversion. The likes that the world has never seen before. I'd say even worse than it was in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent me to come the right time, the perfect time, to the land of Israel to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. The time when our people were forsaken the faith, turned to what you call Judaism, trying to keep the law that God never intended for anyone to try to keep. But they masquerade themselves in this religion, this false religion of self-righteousness, pride, and good works, believing that they are right with God. And then many of my people at the time were sinful, caught up in cares of this world, very much like your people today. Many are caught in false religions, worshiping false gods, thinking that the whole time they're right with the living God. And so I came to get their attention. You think I got their attention looking like this? Credit to your pastor. Not many pastors will let someone that looks like me come up and preach. But it wouldn't be my looks that offended people today. It'd be my message. Time's running out, folks. The Middle East, according to the Word of God, is becoming the focus of the world. And not just the Middle East, Jerusalem and Israel. And I don't know if you've been watching, but the war is spreading. This next week, it's going to spread to the nation of Yemen. How much time do you have left? As God's people, you don't have to fear the end, but you don't have much time to warn those who are not His people. And that's why God has you here. That's what the church is all about. Just as I was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, you could be a voice of many. And our message is simple. Just as my message was simple. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His paths straight. Jesus was coming in the flesh to the people of my day. He is also going to return. And very easily could be in your lifetimes. But before His return becomes the worst time in human history, a period known as the tribulation. The Bible says there's never been a worse time in human history than those last 7 years. And if Christ did not return at the end of that 7 years, no flesh would survive. But you are to prepare the way of the Lord to your people. You are to declare the truth of His return. Just as the Holy Spirit is in the world, convicting the world of their sin, of the righteousness of God, and the judgment to come. You are to be the vessels. You are to be the tools in God's hands. You know, I've noticed over the years, though, talking to groups of believers, from my day to the present, there are different types of believers. First, there are the faithful. The ones who truly believe in the Son of God. God in human flesh. They believe the Word of God and they seek to obey it. They seek to make their lives service, good service to God. And then we have those that are, I would call, the easy belief believer. Oh, it's easy to be a believer because they only believe it up here. Oh, they know the things the church teaches. They usually think they know more than they really do, but they know the basics. They know about Jesus. They know about His death, His resurrection. Many times they grow up in church and they say a sinner's prayer and are baptized, but their belief is just here. It never penetrates the heart. Because see, to be a true believer changes everything. It makes you want to obey and seek the Lord each and every day. Your life is never the same once you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You understand and appreciate the Christ child and what He represents. The life He was going to live. The life He was going to sacrifice. But they just believe up here. And their life is no different than anybody else out there in the world who doesn't know. Many times with these who are easy belief, they're just out in the world acting like everybody else. But they think they're okay because they know about Jesus. I'm going to show you a verse here in a second that is scary for those people. It should make them fear. Because easy belief does not save a person. Many times these people in easy belief, they don't want to read the Word of God because they don't care about it. They definitely don't want to be part of the church. So they don't go to church. Oh, they call themselves believers. But the Bible condemns them. Because the Bible says that a true believer will not forsake the assembling together. The true believer desires the Word of God like a newborn babe desires the milk. And a true believer wants to be salt and light, wants to honor the Christ child. So I have the faithful and I have the easy belief. And then I have what I call the religious unfaithful. They're religious. Oh, they'll attend church or they'll believe in some religion. Or today I hear a lot of term being used, I'm spiritual. Oh, they have a religious look to them and sound to them, but they're unfaithful to the Word of God. They're unfaithful to this. They don't want to hear it. But they're religious. See, they've been lied to. They've been deceived by the evil one. Today, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to share the gospel. The meaning the Christ child came, that's it. But it's the most powerful truth this world has ever heard. And if you're a believer, you should love to hear it. And if you're not a believer this morning, you need to listen. Because this simple message can save you for all eternity. But if you don't do what that statement says, you're going to miss it. Make His paths straight. You see, today, and in the day of my day, people always put obstacles between them and God. Why? I do not know. These obstacles seem to be more important to them. There's many obstacles people put up. One is simple unbelief. They've been trained not to believe in anything they cannot see. But I know your pastor has been teaching you about all the evidence for God. All the evidence for the Bible. All the supernatural elements that's beyond man. There's much to see, but they don't want it. They have unbelief and they just will not believe. Then there's others that have pride. Oh, how many of you run into people who think they're good? Oh, the majority of people in the world think they're good people. Self-righteousness. Religious righteousness. They think their works, their baptisms, their sinner's prayer, their communion, whatever it may be, those works they do, their church attendance saves them. It's an obstacle for Jesus to come straight into their lives. Some just don't have time. They want to, as Jesus said, they want to save their lives. Meaning to themselves. They want to live life the way they want to live life. They want to do what they want to do. But Jesus warned, those who save their lives will lose it. Some, it's money, sin, and all sorts of things, the cares of this life. There are obstacles that we have to warn them to move out of the way. Make the path straight right into your very heart and soul. Let me show you what I call the scariest verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And there is a good chance, a very good chance, folks. This could be describing someone in here this morning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Church, what is the will of the Father in heaven? Sanctification, very good. Sanctification is what a truly saved person desires to seek because it's obedience to God. It's His will for everyone who believes, truly believes. To be transformed through the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to create in you from the inside out an image of Jesus Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, many Many will say to me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is for the religious unfaithful. There's a huge church movement, and I use the word church loosely, today, spreading from Reading out to the rest of the world, who are all about prophesying and having power over demons and seeking to do wonders. Sometimes I wonder if this verse was written directly to them. But also the easy belief people fit in here. Oh, Lord, I said a sinner's prayer. I was baptized. I used to attend church faithfully. I believe. I love the ones that say, I love Jesus, but they don't obey Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. They're lying to themselves and believing it. And on judgment day, it's going to be too late. They've kept the obstacles in front, and there was no straight path into their heart and soul. So they're never saved. But the whole time believing they are. And I hate the word in verse 22, many. Many will say this. It means many will be lost forever. So today I want to make his path straight for anyone who will listen. If you're already a believer, then you pray while I share this for those who may not be. And I know this message will go out to people. The pastor heard from a man in Arizona this last week who listens to the sermons. It's truly amazing, your technology, how the word gets out. You never know who's listening. So if you're a born-again believer, pray. But the gospel should always be a joy to hear. But if you're not a believer, or you think you might be one of those that I called out for being false, you need to listen. Don't let pride get in the way. So the question I have before you, has Jesus saved you? Have you been born again? Two big lies to begin with. I'm a good person. And a loving God won't judge anyone. Two big lies out there that many people believe. And those are obstacles in front of them. Let's start with the hard reality. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for all to die. Oh, everyone's going to die. Physical death is going to come upon everybody. You're going to die that physical death once. But after this, the judgment. Because, folks, you are an eternal being. Your body's going to give out, but you are a soul. And you will live on. And once we die, we have the judgment. And there's only two locations. Heaven and hell. We're all going to die. What does a person need to know about their condition before God? Because when we die, we're going to stand before Him. It's plain and simple. The Lord said, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. For all have sinned. Christians, what is sin? Oh, say it with some conviction. Breaking God's law. That's what it causes. Definitely separation. Sin is the breaking of God's law. Let's just try the Ten Commandments. Let's just see. Test the Word of God. How many of you have ever lied? Put your hands up. Because if you don't put your hands up, you're lying right now, so you might as well put them up. How many of you have ever stolen anything? What does that make you? Thieves. Lying thieves. Ouch. How many of you have ever disobeyed your parents? I better see that row in the balcony or I'll raise your hand. How many of you have ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Blasphemous. How many of you ever looked upon someone with lust in your eyes? How many of you have ever murdered somebody? Sometimes people think, well, I don't have to raise my hand to that one. But actually, the Bible says, if you've ever hated somebody, you've murdered them in God's eyes. Folks, this is not just a funny little exercise to amuse ourselves. This is showing something about us. We are wretched people deep down inside. Every single person. And we've broken all of God's laws, and that separates us from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's falling short of the glory of God? God is sinless. God is holy. God is perfect. There is no darkness in Him. And we are full of darkness. And that sin, falling short of who God is what separates us from Him. We are separated from a holy God. Have you ever seen pictures of the Grand Canyon? You can picture that Grand Canyon. That canyon is like your sin. It separates you from a holy God. You're on one side, God. Heaven is on the other side. Where we want to go is with the God. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But that canyon, that sin stops you. You're stuck. You have no hope. That's the condition of the human heart. Everybody's heart. Now, since we're in that condition, separated from God, what does our sin require from God? God will judge all sin. Psalms 7, verse 11. God is a just judge. That's a terrifying thought. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Well, you don't hear that many times, do you? How many memes out there have that verse on them? But no, what you hear is God is love. It's all you hear. God is a just judge. That means He has to punish all sin. All laws that are broken have to be punished or He would not be just. But He is. And there we stand separated from Him, sinful, guilty. And God is not just, He's angry. God hates sin. And He is angry with the sinner. Wait a minute, I thought God loved the sinner. God is angry with the sinner. Because what they are doing is going to force Him to judge them. Because He's just. God's angry at that. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment. Boy, every deed. That's another terrifying thought. How many things have we done where we don't want anyone to know? Maybe we think we've hidden it. No, we can't hide anything from God. He sees all. He's going to judge every deed. Question, will you be guilty? Of course, everyone will be guilty. There's not one human being who would not be guilty. We all stand before Him full of guilt. And some people think, well, maybe if I do more good or than evil, I can balance it out. And let me tell you something, that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says once we commit one sin, which we've committed many more than that, we are guilty of all. And if we were really honest, we've done more bad things in our lives than good. Can't depend on this at all. I don't care how good you think you are not. When you stand before a holy, righteous, just God. Besides that, do you know what the condition, the standard to get into heaven is? Does anybody know? Perfection. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know the one we fall short of? Now, I know none of you would claim to be perfect. So there we are, sinful, separated, an angry God, a just God. What do we deserve since we are all guilty of sin? The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. And not just physical death. There's a much greater death. God warned Adam and Eve the day they took of the fruit that they would surely die. They didn't physically die that day. There was a greater death than physical death. It's called the second death. It's eternal separation from God. You see, you're an eternal being, like I said before. Your body may die, but your soul lives on. But your soul can be separated from God forever. It's called the second death. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Your soul goes to hell. Then hell goes to the lake of fire. I know that's not politically correct to say anymore, but it's the truth. A loving God will send people to hell because He's a just God. You cannot dismiss or forget or ignore the justice of God. A lot of people say, well, why is the penalty for sin so severe? It's easy. The Bible tells us in Psalms 51 that all sin is against God. You know, when we sin, basically what we're telling, we're not just being prideful to our parents. When we're disobedient to our parents, being prideful and arrogant to Him. When we sin, we're telling God, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. It's just like the Pharisees and Sadducees who slapped Jesus in the face, spit in His face. That's what sin is. And there's no greater sin commandment than showing that kind of disrespect to the God who created all things. Because we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And we've all broken that one too. For the wages of sin is death. And if this verse stopped right here, we'd be in serious trouble, folks. But thank goodness this is only a part of it. The second part is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if we're as wretched as the Bible says we are, and we are, if God is as angry with us as He is, why would God want to give us gift? If you had someone who completely lied to you, disrespected you, and at times flat out hated you, would you want to give them a gift? So what is this gift all about? Why would God want to give us a gift? What? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, God is love. The greatest love. Is His love greater than His justice? I'll put it this way. Right now, the love of God is offered to all people. You reject it, you'll receive the justice. But His love was so great that He sent His only begotten Son. That's what Christmas is all about. The Christ child. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And how is He going to be saved? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. What kind of love? Laying their life down for you. Greatest love. There's no stronger love, no more commitment than to lay one's life down for another. God demonstrates His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, here's where the justice of God was satisfied. God doesn't dismiss our sins. He, out of His love, He just doesn't ignore our sins. No, He's a just God. He has to deal with sin. And here's where He deals with it. Jesus Christ pays the price. And how can Jesus pay the price for our sins? Well, He was the only one in human history who never sinned. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The baby Jesus, God in human flesh, to live the life we could not live. But He came and He lived it. The perfect life, honoring God, honoring His parents, keeping the law. Tempted in all ways, but without sin. Since He would never sin, He was the perfect sacrifice. He took our sins and our punishment upon Himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He was righteous. But God took our sin and put it upon Him. Transferred the guilt to the innocent. And the innocent died in our place, paying the punishment. Dying in our place. The wages of sin is death. He died so we could live. You see, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, like I said, it changes everything. If it's real, it changes you completely. If you're not changed or you return back to the old ways, then it wasn't real. It was never real for you. But when it's real, it changes everything. Because with something you understand, Jesus has taken your guilt, transferred it to Himself, died in your place, and He has bestowed upon you His righteousness. God said multiple times from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's never said that about anybody else. But you see, Jesus can give you His righteousness. So when God looks upon you, He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees you as pure and righteous. As Jesus. We might become the righteousness of God in Him. Remember, perfection is the standard. There's no way we can, but Jesus can give you His perfection. He can stand in front of you as your advocate, as your defense against all the sin you've ever committed. He can put His perfection upon you. This is the grace of God. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Lest anyone should boast. What is grace? Grace is going beyond mercy. Grace goes beyond mercy. It gives us what we do not deserve. We don't deserve salvation from God. We don't deserve His forgiveness, His love. He could justly judge all of us. But what did He do? He left His place on high and put on human flesh. Lived the life we could not. And He went and died in our place. Is that not the greatest love? That's the grace. And we're saved by faith. Faith is not just believing in God. It's a belief so strong that, yes, the mind understands the basic truths of who He is and what He has done, but it penetrates our heart and our soul. It breaks the sinner. The sinner should weep over their sin. Their sin caused the death of Jesus. Your sin did. And you're guilty. And you deserve justice from God, not mercy. And definitely not grace. But we believe so strong, it changes who we are. And we fall at the feet of God for His mercy. And He bestows upon us grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not of works. Here's what most people do. Trying to be good is like trying to jump across that Grand Canyon. Our sin separates us from God. And if you try to deal with your sin on your own, you're going to fall to the bottom and you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. But we can put our faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. We can understand that He lived the perfect life. He has made a way across the canyon. He has brought us back into relationship with God. Remember, it is a gift. And the price was His life. It's not of your works. Jesus paid the price, and that's why He can say this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. There are no other ways. And yes, I am saying, of all the religions in the world, there is only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. And God of all Gentiles who will believe. Jesus Christ is the way across that canyon. That's why He came. That's why He was born. To do that. How do we know this to be true? Luke 24. The angel said, He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves who He said He was. It proves His sacrifice was perfect for God. The empty tomb. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what God commands all men and all women to believe. This is what Jesus Himself commanded us to believe. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. There He stood before the people that I had proclaimed, prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight. And then He stood before them. And He said, it's been fulfilled. I'm here, the kingdom of God. I am the kingdom of God. You want to be in the kingdom of God? It is through Jesus and Jesus alone. God is at hand. Repent. Believe in the gospel. Belief is that belief so strong it changes you. It changes. It causes us to turn from our sinful ways. It causes us to turn from our selfish ways. It causes us to go to the feet of the cross. In humbleness, brokenness, because we are so wretched. We don't deserve this grace. We don't deserve this love. But we see it. We believe. We believe that God loves us, even though we are wretched. repentance. And here's the key where most of the false believers, they never do. They have it up here, or they're religious. They never truly repent. And He has called all sinners to repentance. Without repentance, there is no salvation. How do you know you repent? Because your life changes at that moment. The moment of repentance before God changes you. Romans 10, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. Make the path straight. There it is. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you don't make Him Lord, He is already Lord. But you understand that He is now your master, as He is the master of the world. He owns it all already. You're just finally getting around to being smart enough to acknowledge it. And you put yourself under His lordship. He is your owner. He is your master. He is your God. He is your Lord. Let alone your Savior. He's your Lord. And now, yes, He can tell you how to live. But He is the good master. And He wants your life to be good in Him. And for you to experience the gift of eternal life. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. It's more than just believing up here in the mind. It's in the heart. It's who you are. Believe in the heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what Jesus refers to as being born again. My brothers and my sisters. John 3, Jesus answered, "Most truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," water is the Word of God, it is the gospel truth. Ephesians 5 says, "We are washed in the water of the Word and the Holy Spirit." He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. Born again is not just doing a religious prayer, a sinner's prayer, getting baptized, not understanding what it all means. Doing that in your life is not the same. You're just religious. Born again is the conversion of the soul. It changes who you are. It causes you to want to obey God. It causes you to want to worship God, to praise Him, to share Him. It changes your entire life. You must be born again. This is the gospel. This is the greatest truth you'll ever hear. Or it's the greatest truth you can ever share. This is the true meaning of Christmas. The little baby born in a manger. Emmanuel, God with us. God in human flesh. To come and live the life that we could not live. Then to go to the cross and die in our place. The innocent for the guilty. But 3 days later, defeating sin and defeating death, defeating the wages of sin, He arose. And He has life. And He's the giver of life. Humanity is condemned in their sin. They're on their way to hell. The wrath of God abides on them. But He is giving them time to turn and receive the gift and to receive life. Don't replace that with some religious act. Don't replace that with religion. Don't place that with self-righteous pride. Don't replace that with church attendance. Don't replace that beautiful gift for sin and saving your own life. Living by your own rules but claiming to be a believer. Stop it, you hypocrite! Stop being a hypocrite! Come to Jesus Christ. Stop being prideful. Humble yourself, or you will stand the judgment and you will suffer the second death. And I say that in love. This is the gift from heaven. The gift of God to us, the greatest gift you can ever receive. So I close again one more time with this question. Has Jesus saved you? Have you been born again? Or are you religious? Any confession of Christ in the past that did not change your life? I don't care if you said a sinner's prayer. I don't care if you were baptized. I don't care if you attended Sunday school and youth group. But if your belief in Jesus Christ has not changed you inside and made you obedient to this, and a lover of God, and a lover of His Word, and a lover of His church, and a lover of sharing and being a witness, then you are a false convert. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit of God is coming into your life and you haven't been changed. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit has come in and He leaves the evidence. Many people want to add Jesus to their life. You don't add Jesus to your life. When you truly understand who He is and you come to Him in faith, He becomes your life. And again, your life is never the same. Can I have the worship team come back up? I know many of you are believers. You've been born again. I praise God for that. But maybe some of you haven't. It's time. You can believe in your heart, confess with your mouth to God, right where you sit. Whoever does, He will save. If your heart's truly repenting, if it's gone from your mind to your heart and you truly want Him because you realize how you need His mercy and grace, you are a sinner who is separated and you have no hope. And if you try to come to God and say, "Hey God, I said a sinner's prayer way back then. Hey, I was baptized. Hey, I go to church." He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There's only one way to know God, and that is to be born again through Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. If you bypass that door, if you do not go through the door, you are a thief. And God will condemn you. There's only one way to God. And once you go through the door, life is never the same. Go through the door. He's offering it to you. Maybe you want to come up and talk to me during the song. Come up and talk to me. Maybe you want to talk to me afterwards. After the service, that's fine. But don't hear this greatest truth and not apply it to yourself. Don't do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I pray that my words have been simple but true. I pray, Lord, that there be hearts that have a straight path for your truth to penetrate. And they will open up themselves by humbly bowing before you for your lordship, your holiness, your righteousness. And you'll bestow on them the grace that is the gift of God. Lord, I pray that if there's any in here that's not a believer, they will put their faith in you and be born again. And we will celebrate with them. Lord, there has to be that moment, Lord. They have to walk through the door. It's got to start there. Don't let them replace it with anything. Don't let their minds be deceived by any obstacle. Clear the paths straight. And for Lord, those that are already born again, let us go forth with a more dedicated, more determined heart to share the true meaning of Christmas. We praise you and we thank you for the Christ child born in Bethlehem. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's sing. Stand up with me, please. Mm-hmm.
so brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt His worth. A thrill of rejoices beyond the praise, a new glorious morn from me. Oh, hear the angel voices, O night divine, oh night, when Christ was born. Proclaim Him as Lord.